Well, welcome back to This Week in the Association. I'm joined once again by Kevin Lucco. Kevin, before we get started in talking about stuff going on around the American Association, we want to say congratulations to the Houston Astros.
What a story, huh? Considering the hurricane that devastated the city of Houston, and for the Astros to give the city a feel-good story, you have to be happy. Be happy for the organization. First championship in, what did they say last night, 56 seasons?
Yes, I believe so. 62, I think they would have started out there. So, yeah, that, an interesting stat I saw today was this is the first time that two teams from any expansion set have now won a World Series. So the Mets won in 69, and now the Astros won. There's never been a series of expansion teams that two teams from that same expansion year have now won a World Series. But so now there is one. So if I said that correctly, which I hope I did. I did want to say I'm excited about Houston winning because that was just another series that I had wrong. I had pretty much this entire baseball playoffs wrong.
Yeah, I didn't have a good read on the World Series at all. I thought maybe Los Angeles with the experience factor would take over, defeating a pretty young Houston club, but youth was served, it looks like.
Absolutely. Well, the big news around the American Association is that the schedule for the 2018 season was released this last week, Monday. We've got a chance to peruse through the schedule a little bit. Is there anything that kind of leaps out at you right at the moment?
Well, as I noted in my blog last night, the St. Paul Saints for the first time in, like I would say, first time in during the CHS Field era, and maybe last 2 years at Midway Stadium, they are going to be beginning the season on the road. They're going to Gary, which, well, the last 2 years, Gary has opened the season up here. So that stood out as being a little different. And then the Saints are going to do, and I don't recall this in American Association history, there's going to be a opening day game, which is actually is an opening day game. They're going to start at 3:05 on Monday afternoon. So I've never seen that done with the American Association. I'm sure the Saints promotion and marketing department has something up their sleeve, so we'll keep an eye on that when it comes to promotions time.
Yeah, I found that interesting myself, just because, you know, the opening night for any team is always such a big deal, and you're looking to get a maximum crowd value out of that. And on a Monday night where there's not a huge amount of stuff going on around the area, I thought the only thing that could be, and maybe I didn't look this up, is are the Twins at home maybe that night, and they're doing some kind of go to see the Saints, go to see the Twins kind of thing. I don't know that they've done in the past, but I was interested.
Well, I'm wondering if they're going to use this to draw business people that work downtown St. Paul to work half a day, stick around downtown, and head over to the ballpark. So we'll see what's up.
Well, there are a few teams that have interesting schedules. Talking with manager Steve Montgomery there in Sioux City, he brings up the point that their team actually was scheduled to start out with 20 games in 20 days. Lincoln moved up their series that was supposed to start Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and it's going to now go Thursday, Friday, Saturday, I believe. Maybe it's a four-game series, so that they have that off day. But 20 games in 21 days and then end the season with 20 straight days of playing. And I was saying to him, boy, you better have that starting rotation in good shape at that particular point.
Yeah, you're going to have to be rolling all five starters. In the past, you've seen teams with early season days off where they can go with four guys and the fifth starter can kind of boost through the bullpen a bit. But yes, when you're doing 20 and 21, you better hope that you're coming out of the spring training with five starters that you can trust.
It looks like the vast majority of teams in the league have a schedule similar to that, at least down the stretch. There are a few that have a day off somewhere between like the 17th of August, 16th of August, something like that. But most teams around the league have 19 of 20 to end the season or 20 of 21 or something of that nature. So the league testing out to make sure that everybody's got the best rotation they can. And if you don't, you're going to be in some trouble. The one exception to that I do want to note is Cleburne has three off days in the last 3 weeks of the season. So I'm surprised that somebody isn't a little more upset about that. But they do begin the season with what, 20, looks like 21 straight days of games. So everybody's going to get their test at some point this year.
Yeah, you never know what's going to happen when Miles Wolf sits down with the pencil and paper and the lantern in the cabin, drawing up a schedule like they would do back in the 50s and 60s. It's sometimes you get some odd quirks in there. One thing we ought to point out too is that as of now, there is no scheduled All-Star game for next season. There is a stretch in, I believe it's late July, where I think the entire league is off for a couple days. I don't know if that's left open just in case something does pop up and a city does want to step up and have a game. But as of now, it looked like it'd be a league-wide 2-day-off stretch. So that would be kind of interesting.
They do.
Wouldn't give you and I much to talk about when there's 2 days off. We won't know what to do.
It is scheduled for the 24th and 25th of July to have an all-star stretch, but I do look here to see that this must be last year. No, this says that this is this year's schedule for Kansas City for 2018. They look like they're scheduled to play games on the 24th and 25th. So I don't know what's going on with that. So I think Kansas City may have the wrong schedule out here or something, because the 24th and 25th on their schedule for July is a Tuesday, Wednesday, and I'm looking here at Cleveland's schedule. The 24th and 25th are a Monday, Tuesday. So I think Kansas City hasn't updated their schedule here or something. So something's wrong. Something's quirky
They're
here
let
one way or
Dan
the other.
Bond know.
Yeah, have something going on here. The one thing that Kevin and I were talking about before the show began that I was kind of excited about this season, a lot of home and home kind of series. So a team will go to Sioux Falls for 3 days. Then the next weekend, Sioux Falls would come to their home. Let's say, for example, I've always loved that about Major League Baseball is that, you got those home and home kind of series, and it would be a 6 or 7 day stretch where you played two teams away, and then a 6 or 7 day stretch where those two teams came to your hometown. I think that's really good for the league to have set up this year this way.
What I like about that setup too is that let's say you had a stretch against a team over the weekend and there was some bad blood come game three. Well, you hop on the bus and you got them back at your ballpark or you go to their ballpark the following weekend. So it helps to spark the rivalries up a bit too.
Well, a couple of things going on around the league we want to discuss. First of all is Cleburne finishes off a trade by sending Mitch Glasser and Onis Farfan to Winnipeg, who then deal them off to Gary as part of the deal that brought Charlie Rosario to Winnipeg this season. Boy, it looks like that is a huge boon for the Gary South Shore Railcats.
Yeah, it's good deal for Gary, and Winnipeg gets two guys out of the way of the guys that they owe to Gary without having to mess with their own roster at all. So once again, Winnipeg finds a way to keep the roster intact.
Well, I think that sure made Gary a lot tougher this season. Glasser is one of those kind of players that's scrappy, hits really well, could bat anywhere in their order, could play virtually anywhere on the diamond for them. I think he's such a great fit to what manager Greg Taggart does there, and I think that's going to be a huge pickup for this team.
Yeah, he definitely falls into their system of baseball down there. And he has experience in the league in 2 years, so he can be a help to guys that are just getting out of college and join the Railcats. He can help them kind of learn the ropes of what it's going to take to compete in the association.
The Chicago Dogs named their manager. We want to congratulate Butch Hobson, who has some ties to the American Association, I believe.
I know he's been a long time independent league manager. I do remember him managing in the Atlantic League. I don't recall. Have you seen, has he managed in the American Association?
I was wondering if he was coaching for Texas at some point before. Was he a coach for Pete Incaviglia, or am I wrong about that?
I'm wondering if you're thinking of Butch Henry.
That is probably who I'm thinking of. You're probably right. It was Butch Hobson was managing in the Atlantic League, and I'm understanding that that's part of the appeal of why they wanted him to be the manager in Chicago, hoping to lure that kind of talent to the league there.
Yes, and I believe, just kind of skimmed the article, that there's a tie-in with Butch Hobson with the Kane County Cougars, so he's been in that area of Illinois, so it'll make the move a little easier for him.
The one kind of surprising move in the league that we see is manager Pete Rose Jr. not retained by the Wichita Wingnuts after two seasons of taking the team to the championship series. Personally, to me, that was kind of a surprise.
Yeah, it shows you how cruel of a business it is. He won 122 and 77 in two seasons. So, well, you're averaging 61 wins a year. I'd take that and run. And he did a good job. Kevin Hooper was a tough act to follow, and I believe Rose Jr. did a very adequate job of following Hooper. So now to whoever Wichita has in mind for a manager, you're going to have a tough one to follow in Pete Rose Jr. And we can only hope that Rose Jr. will find his next job in baseball very soon, and we'll see him around.
I'm understanding the team looking in-house in some way or another for the replacement to them, but no real word on specifically who that might be or where their search is exactly aimed at this particular point. We also want to mention Winston Abreu. I was kind of surprised to see Cleburne released. I know that he's, to be honest with you, I'd still, until manager Gabe Suarez said this to me, that Winston Abreu was 39 years old last season. I had no clue that that was even the case. And so I'm just wondering if this is just him kind of leading into retirement at this point.
Yeah, it could very well be, or he might be looking to play baseball elsewhere, whether it be back closer to home or who knows. It's hard to tell when moves are made in October what the real motive is.
And we want to throw a shout-out out there to Joe Robbins of the Lincoln Salt Dogs, whose contract was purchased by the Arizona Diamondbacks.
Yeah, good to see Arizona once again dipping into independent baseball to add to their talent pool. And we can only hope that Robbins will get an adequate opportunity in spring training to show that he can be an asset to the organization and be yet another feather in the hat to the Lincoln Salt Dogs, who they seem to be the team now that are sending the most guys back into major league organizations.
Yeah, they actually had, I think the three teams now that we saw this last season were what, Sioux City, Lincoln, and Kansas City that sent the most guys back. So that's exciting to see these guys. You know, they're drawing in great talent. Bobby Brown has done a great job managing there, and a lot of teams in affiliate organizations seem to be recognizing the talent he's getting.
Yeah, it goes to show you there's some good talent in the now defunct Central Division.
Yes, there is. That's for sure. Well, Kevin, right now not a lot going on around the league, but there are some players who have headed overseas. What do we know about that?
Well, we've been told for the Australian Baseball League that Alex Boschiers of the Wingnuts and Mark Hamburger of the St. Paul Saints will both be playing in Australia this winter. Hamburger returns to Melbourne, pitch for the Aces, and Boschiers will be pitching for the Perth Heat. And our good friend Dan Vaughn, of course, is very involved with the Australian Baseball League and the Perth Heat, so I'm sure he'll keep us some update on how the guys are doing over there.
I know that it has become very popular for many of the players within the American Association to jump to winter ball in such places as Australia, Venezuela. I know Ryan Kuchmal heads to Venezuela usually each year to wind up playing there. He might be playing in the Dominican Republic, I was understanding, this season as well. And Patrick Mincy, I'm believing, is also heading to play winter ball, I think in one of the winter Mexican leagues this offseason. So, yeah, I guess
Tyler Alexander also.
Tyler Alexander, there's another good example. I've always kind of wondered this, and I've even talked to managers about it. I'm kind of curious your thoughts. You know, I always thought that, especially for pitchers, that you would want those 3 or 4 months off or 5 months or whatever it is to kind of rejuvenate your arm and get ready for the next season, but that sure doesn't seem to be the way anymore.
I was kind of wondering that when Hamburger went to Melbourne, and after the first start or two where the manager seemed to think that he needed to limit Hamburger. Hamburger was pitching like his usual 120, 130 pitches a start, and I thought he would come back to St. Paul tired, but didn't seem to be the case with him. So maybe some pitchers are, I suppose everybody's kind of wired differently. Some guys like the time off, and some feel like they need to continue throwing in order to keep their arm going well.
Two other things we do want to mention that's gone on around the league. First of all, we would like to congratulate Andrew Collier, the general manager of the Winnipeg Goldeyes, who gets into the Manitoba Baseball Hall of Fame.
Yeah, it's a great honor for Mr. Collier, who has been involved with the Goldeyes organization pretty much since day one. It's kind of nice. This will be their 25th season coming up. They were, for those who go way back, you can remember that Winnipeg didn't join the Northern League until year two. They were basically the replacement for the Rochester Aces, so this will be Winnipeg's celebration of the 25th year, and as part of that, they see one of their own get inducted into the Manitoba Baseball Hall of Fame, so congratulations to Andrew Collier.
We also have the St. Paul Saints as an organization winning an award.
Yes, once again, I believe we alluded to this in a previous episode, but they are the American Association Organization of the Year once again, and I know from looking on Twitter, it looked like some of the folks decided to celebrate a bit in Vegas, so big honor for the Saints, and I hope they gambled well.
Sean Aronson might have even eaten a cookie. That's just a rumor. I don't know if that's true or not.
Whoa, now. I don't know if he went or not. I don't think I saw him in any of the pictures, but who knows?
That's just rumor, though. I just want to throw that back out there because you don't know. You know,
I was trying to see if Tom Whaley would put some money on his beloved St. Louis Blues to win the Stanley Cup, but not sure if he did or not.
Well, Kevin, what are we looking forward to going on from this point, taking us to the end of the year, do you think, in the American Association?
You know, it kind of gets to be quiet time now, and I don't know, for some of us, if you're really hardcore, I would say you find a way to stream some online Winter League baseball. I know for me, I'll try to pop in and catch some Australian Baseball League games.
If we look back at last season, Winnipeg had made a lot of their moves by the middle of December. It seemed like to me, if I was remembering correctly, that their team was pretty much set by that point. And I know that manager Steve Montgomery is out looking around for players right now. He's been talking to some of the organizations looking for guys that are available. It'd be curious to me to see if Chicago tries to jump on early or if they're going to wait around to February or March to see if they start building their team.
Yeah, and there's like some fall leagues, kind of independent fall leagues and that play in like Florida and Arizona too, that feature guys that want to get signed by independent league teams. So as far as fans go, yeah, there's really not much to do other than look at the transaction wire or try to stream games being played somewhere.
Well, there'll be a lot of talk about what's going on as we're heading into that. Kevin, tell me what you got going on these days.
Well, I just threw a blog together last night, which kind of recap on some of the stuff from the blog we just talked about on here. But go ahead and check it out on 10thinningstretch.blogspot.com. It's going to get a little quiet as there's no news. There's really not much to blog about, but if something does happen, I will be sure to pop on and throw together a blog. So we also got at TWITA Baseball on Twitter. And if any news comes down the pipe, player signings, any news within organizations, we'll be sure to have it on there. So check that out on Twitter at TWITA Baseball.
For myself, manager Steve Montgomery and I will be continuing to do a weekly podcast during the off season, and manager George Samus will be joining me again starting next week. to do a once a month thing, looking at what's going on with the Saints. I also do want to talk about
football.
And football, yeah, absolutely, because you know he'll always want to talk about that. And
he seems to be the football guru.
Jason Verdugo, who used to be the St. Paul Saints pitching coach, now the athletic director at Hamline University, I'll be doing a story about in the upcoming weeks. So check that out, because Jason is quite a guy, for sure. Kevin, exciting to meet with you once again, and so we will see you next time on This Week in the Association.